He's back like a bad rash. Legendary broadcaster, Drew Marshall.
You know, I play this song on people's voicemails.
Really?
When it's their birthday.
Oh.
You know what I do?
What?
I make up the words. This is what I do. I sing. I go like this. Ready? Sing with me if you know it. You say it's your birthday. It's my birthday too.
Yeah.
Say my, it's your birthday.
Your birthday.
Gonna have some good times. Happy birthday.
I'm happy. Glad it's your birthday.
That's just weird.
To you. Drum solo.
You know, for so many years, I made fun of CIUT. I tell you, I met a guy from CIUT the other day. Now I can't make fun
of
him anymore.
This isn't even Ringo playing the drums.
I gotta say, one of the worst drum solos I've ever heard was from Ringo. Ringo.
He hated to do them, apparently. That was Paul McCartney.
Well, drop her name with anyone. Oh, sorry. You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca, and we're live right here in Southern Ontario on Joy 1250. Drop her name with anyone who is anyone in the Canadian music scene, and you'll look like you are somebody. Jane Harbury's career as a publicist began back in 1927. She hates me. She hates me. As a publicist, you know, she kind of began tackling multiple roles in the entertainment industry starting in the 60s, actually. From managing the Riverboat, a Yorkville coffee house, to working as a personal assistant to record producer Brian Ahern, and booking Eastern Sound, the leading Toronto recording studio of the day. She began work in publicity in the early 80s. I was going to say in her early 80s. She's 162 now. When she took on management roles for singers Pete Pringle and Micah Barnes in 1985, she spent several months with the fledgling record label Duke Street.
Ah.
A brief spell with veteran publicists to work on a project for Toronto Arts Against Apartheid stretched into almost 2 years. During this time, Ms. Harbury handled publicity for the Juno Awards, national tour of the Moscow Circus, was the external consulting publicist for the Ontario Place Forum.
Yay!
Where Tim and Jane met so many years ago. She's worked with CBC, Country Canada Television, Northern Blues Music, North by Northeast Festival, Just for Laughs, Gemini Awards, Niagara International Chamber Music Festival, Toronto Music Expo, Toronto City Roots Festival. Good night. How long is this? Earth Day Galas, Royal Agricultural Winter Fair, the Nashville Network, Country Music Television, Canadian Aboriginal Music Awards Festival and Pow Wow, Smooth Jazz Awards, a Total Health Show, and National Jazz Awards. But this is the part I like.
Okay.
All that is nothing.
Okay. I'm going to get ready to catch all these names.
But check this out. Jane Harbury has worked with a litany of incredible artists, including...
Okay, I'm ready.
Kris Kristofferson, Johnny Lee Hooker, Jackson Browne, Harry Chapin, Dan Hill, Murray McLaughlin, James Taylor, Doc Watson, Buddy Guy, Hills and Crofts, Gordon Lightfoot, Ann Murray, Fleetwood Mac, Elton John, Bruce Coburn, Cat Stevens, Jeff Healey, and Andrea Bocelli, Dan Hill, Haygood Hardy, The Chieftains, Ian Tyson, Andy Kim, Ian Thomas, Ian Tyson, J.D. Souther, Valdi, and Kermit the Frog, ladies and gentlemen. So please, welcome to the Drew Marshall Show, a very good friend of mine, and it is her birthday, Jane Harbury. Hello, Jane.
Hello, Drew. Hi, Tim.
Hello, Jane.
That was ridiculous, that bio. Ridiculous.
Well, but what do you want? It's like, what do you leave out? You know, like, just leave it there, and if people want it, they can have it, right?
That's exactly how it needs to go down.
Yeah.
Jane, a little birdie told me it's your birthday today.
Yes, it is.
And another birdie, namely you, told me that it's none of my business how old you really are.
That's exactly right. It's also very important when you get to be a little older that you don't let the actual number intimidate you or intimidate others, you know, really?
No, you don't want that to intimidate.
I don't want that.
No. It's just a number, Jane. It's just a number. Why are two of the biggest publicists in the GTA British?
I don't know. We've got the gift of the Blarney or the Gab or something.
You and Richard Flohill. Come on.
That's right. Well, we and Flohill and I go back a very long time. Did
you guys ever date?
No.
Come on. Really?
No, seriously. No. Are you kidding me? No, he was married to his first wife when I met him.
Right.
And then he just became a friend. And then I think I met his second wife, who he is still married to, before he did. I'm not sure of the timeline now. It's all a bit of a blur, but he's a friend.
Well, I owe it all to you, Jane, for the fact that I met one of my childhood heroes a couple of weeks ago.
I know, eh?
What a thrill for me to meet Gordon Lightfoot.
And he was so much fun that night, was he not?
He was a lot. Yeah. He didn't seem persnickety at all.
No, he's not. He's a lovely human being.
I've heard.
Really, seriously, he's a lovely human being.
Well, of course, I know you're very concerned about the damage to my cranium after that episode.
I was very upset for your poor head.
Goodness.
Are you okay?
You don't even know. I mean, it was brutal. I'll just remind our listeners again. I was so discombobulated after meeting Gordon Lightfoot that I forgot where I parked my car in the underground garage. 20 minutes looking for my car. I made fun of Winona Judd for losing her car.
Nice.
Hey, excuse me, but I might want to point out to your listeners that it might not have been because of Gordon Lightfoot. It might have been you had too much fun.
It might have been I had too much fun. It might have been. So, anyway.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
I was walking along, and I smoked my head off a sewer pipe in the underground garage. It dropped me to one knee. I saw stars, and I had blood pouring down the side in front of my face. It was just brutal.
Drew Marshall walks into a bar.
Yeah. Ba-dum-bum. Jane.
I really felt bad for you. That was a horrible, horrible... A nasty reminder of a night.
Well,
what we did learn about the miracle of coconut oil.
That's
yes.
Right.
Honestly, coconut oil healed my head, I'm telling you.
Coconut oil is the answer for an awful lot of things.
It is.
But I didn't know about heads.
Yeah. Jane, of all the cool, amazing artists you've worked with, who was the one you remember being the most gobsmacked about?
Oh my gosh. Probably working with Ben Heppner.
Ben Heppner.
Yes, the amazing, amazing tenor, Canadian, an incredible human being,
huh.
A voice. I mean, Ben was one of the greatest. He still is, but he retired from actually doing singing as a career. He's on CBC Radio now.
Right.
But Ben has the most glorious, glorious voice, and I was very fortunate to work with him for a number of years when I was with BMG.
Who was the person that you thought was going to be, I don't know, elitist, and turned out to be just a beautiful soul?
Well, I think there's two people that currently I'm working with, and one is David Wilcox, and the other is David Clayton Thomas. They're
right.
Both lovely gentlemen.
Yeah, but we've heard things about both of them that they could be a little high maintenance, and you're telling
no,
me that
not.
No, they're not. That's what I'm saying. You're telling me they're sweethearts.
They're sweethearts. They both are. They have humility. They're talented beyond belief. They both are very much aware of the game, you know, the publicity and the music and all of that.
Yeah.
They both love animals, which, of course, endears them to me.
Yeah. You have a dog. Do you have a dog, James?
No longer. I had a Great Pyrenees who was absolutely the love of my life.
Did you know I have a Great Pyrenees? Did you know
that? No, I didn't know that.
Jane, that's why we like each other so much.
Ah, that would be it. Mine is Largo. Largo of Limbaloss. He was.
Okay,
mine's
Tucker of the Marshall Tucker Band. you've got to be, it's got to be frustrating dealing with some artists, right? I mean, some of them are just so high maintenance and so needy, right? I mean, like, for example, we had someone on the show earlier today, Andrea Simone, and she's a bit of a princess.
Oh, God, what a princess.
Hey?
I love her.
No, but she's a pain.
She's a very beautiful human being, and I'm very, very fond of her.
Really? Why?
Because I think she's immensely talented. She's got goals. She's got dreams. She's driven. She's very, very smart. And I've spent 3.5 years with her and know her pretty well, and yet I think I don't know her that well at all.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I feel something very similar about her. Very similar about her. You know, Tim and I sang Happy Birthday to you at the beginning, right?
I heard it.
Yeah. Would you like to hear a better rendition of Happy Birthday?
Yeah, maybe an Andrea Simone version?
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Happy birthday to Jane. Happy birthday to the beautiful Jane. Happy birthday to the timeless beauty red wine Jane. Happy birthday to you. Love you,
yes.
Jane. Thank you. Love you.
Thank you, Andrea, and I love you, too.
I tried to throw Andrea under the bus.
Did he try to get you?
Tried to throw.
He ain't going to get me, buddy.
I know. People know my shtick now, eh?
They just do.
Try to throw people under the bus when someone else is listening. Jane, how did you end up from wherever the heck you're from? What part of Japan are you from with that accent?
I'm from a very small, it was a very, very small bend in the road in southwest of England, in a place called Liphook. Lip as in two lips, and hook as in getting the hook, Liphook. Nobody in the UK knew of it except for people who lived there, but many people in Canada did, because it was there was a camp, Camp Borden, where a lot of the Canadian soldiers were stationed during the World War II, which was actually before my time, which I'm happy to say. I came for a year, and that was the plan in 1966.
1966. So wait, how old would you have been then?
Very young.
Trying to trap her.
Nice try, bro.
I'm trying. I can't find a thing. You know, I can creep most artists, most guests, right? I find
and
out stuff about everybody.
Well at it, yes.
I can find hardly anything about Jane. And that's a sign of a good publicist when you can't find out about...
I'm not there to publicize me. That's the reality. I'm not there for me. I'm there because this is something I love to do. I get immense reward when I see stuff and see progress with the artists with whom I work. Mm. And, you know, I do social media. I'm a great Facebooker. I love fun things, light things, heartwarming things, but I don't spend a lot of time on it. I have a website, I think, because somebody made one, but I don't do anything with it.
Funny.
No, but it's true. It doesn't matter, because I don't take out ads. I don't have ads anywhere, because... I don't want to have to say no to more people than I already do.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's the reality, too.
Well, okay, Jane, back in the heyday of the music scene here in Tirana, it was all hip and happening in Yorkville.
Yes, it was.
Were you around then?
Yeah, I was. The Riverboat, I was there from 69 to 74.
And Skip Prokop told me a story, of course, Skip being the drummer and founding member of Lighthouse, that he and George...
Foreman?
No.
Harrison?
From the man... Stop! Don't ever have a pause with these two in the room. George Oliver from Mandela.
Right.
Two very different groups, right? One was sort of the disco crowd, one was the rock crowd. And they both had concerts in Yorkville at the same time, and the crowds got out at the same time, and there was a massive brawl in the street from these two groups. It was like, what's that? West Side Story.
Yes. Yeah, the Sharks and the Jets.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I'd never heard that. Do you remember what year?
I think it was when you were 24. So what year would that have been?
Oh, probably
1982.
Jane, I want to throw out some names, and I just want you to, you know, you hear this in interviews, so we're going to do it with you anyway.
Okay.
I'm going to throw out some name-dropping stuff here, and you give me a couple of words, one or two just brief words, descriptions about your, you know, this person.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep.
James Taylor.
James Taylor played the Riverboat. I got to get you a bit of history on the Riverboat.
Jane, what part of one or two words did you not understand?
I totally get it, but that's too bad.
It's her birthday. She can do whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's
okay,
right.
So the Riverboat, we ran our weeks with artists from Tuesdays through Sunday. So there were six nights, two shows, maybe three a night. So James Taylor was one of the shyest, most withdrawn people I have ever had the pleasure to work with. He was a delight. He was wonderful, but he was very, very shy.
Socially awkward, even.
Socially awkward, yeah, but get him on stage and magic happened.
Yeah. Oh, that was it? Oh, sorry, I thought there was more.
Could go on, but
no.
Are more important.
No, there is true. Speaking of socially awkward, Bruce Cockburn.
Oh, Bruce, what can I say about him? Incredible artist, an incredible human being.
Yeah.
I met him when he was a lot younger, obviously. Another Gemini, actually. And he was married to his first wife, Kitty, and they had a beautiful dog named Aru. And Aru was a big furry beast, and everywhere they went, they took Aru. And he was wonderful, and he was brilliant.
You know, I hope it wasn't a vicious dog, because you wouldn't want to poke Aru. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Harry Chapin.
Harry Chapin. What a guy. He came with his whole band, and I think he was Warner Brothers, and they bought a night, the first night. They bought the Monday. We weren't normally open on a Monday, and they invited everybody they knew, and they started serving booze. And I kept saying, we can't touch it. We're a coffee house. So my kitchen guy, don't even make the cafe au rum, real rum. You know, we put the extract in. So Harry did an amazing show. He had a cellist who was still a guy named Tim and a guy named Big John who played bass. And I don't know why I even remember their names, but they were brilliant.
Mr. Katz in the Cradle, of course.
Yeah.
Did he not die in a car accident in
yes,
New York?
He did. Yes, he did. Harry was very driven to stop hunger for people. I think in the States particularly, and he had this organization. And I know Gordon Lightfoot and I think Glenn Campbell all did shows with him. He did one at Massey Hall to raise money for people so they wouldn't go hungry.
Oh, and his daughter was in the industry for a while, wasn't she?
She still is, Jen. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that Chapin Carpenter? No, that's
no,
a different
I'm thinking of a wrong person.
But his brother is still. He's got two brothers, and Steve Chapin and another Chapin who I don't remember, but they're still in it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, you've just been a gem to work with. You know, people say that in the industry, right? It's kind of an L.A. thing to say. She's a gem. She's a real gem. But you are. You're a legit gem. A legit gem.
What am I? What kind of gem?
Uh-oh. Ruby.
Ruby?
Sapphire.
No,
rubies are worth more than diamonds, and they glow red.
I was going to say mood ring.
That's my gem.
that's Andrea Simone's gem. Yeah.
Well, which way is the wind blowing? Green today.
Jane, I just wanted to have you on the show, have a bit of fun. It's been we've worked together for a few years now. Yeah. You've always sent me some of the just fantastic artists. I mean, look, one of the reasons this segment...
You.
What's that?
I brought Andrea to you. What more can you ask?
You have sent me some incredible artists and Andrea as well. so I want to thank you. You've just been a real treat to work with. And we all of us in the studio here wish you a happy birthday, Jane Harbury.
Thank you very, very
happy
much.
Happy birthday, Jane.
Thanks, sweetheart. Okay. I'll see you soon.
Bye, Jane.
Bye. Thank you.
Oh, that was fun.
To town this morning with working on my mind. I thought I may be quitting, thought of leaving it behind. Went back to bed this morning.